My dear brothers and sisters, I do not remember ever hearing such a splendid period of instruction and welfare work and welfare principles. We've heard the prophet of God, emphasize the importance of this great work and encourage each and every one of us to become fully engaged in the program. We have heard his call, and we must respond wholeheartedly. The great authority of welfare and chairman of the Welfare Committee has spoken to us and instructed all of us in our duties. The General Welfare Committee of the Church is made up of the First Presidency of the Church, the Quorum of the Twelve, the Presiding Bishopric, and the Presidency of the General Board of the Relief Society, and the Secretary, Quinn Gardner, all of whom have been represented here this morning and have contributed greatly. I only hope that I have adequately caught the spirit of this session and may add something of value. As President Kimball referred to the origins of the modern day effort in welfare, my thoughts turn to the story of the Good Samaritan, as recorded in the 10th chapter of Luke. In this story, the Savior taught perhaps the most stirring lesson in welfare in the meridian of time. I'd like to read the incident and then trace with you its relevance to our present welfare services effort. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said unto him, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" And he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And he said unto him, "Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live." But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.' Which now of these three thinkest thou is the neighbor unto him that fell among thieves?" And he said, "He that showeth mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." How changed a world this would be if we were all to follow so fine an example of pure Christian love. Let us examine what really took place here. First, the Samaritan had compassion. He had the urge to help, for he felt sympathetic to the wounded man's problem. This kindly affection is brought forth in the hearts of anyone who has been touched by the Spirit of the Lord. These emphatic feelings should be felt by each of us toward one another. Indeed, the Savior said that covenant Israel should be known and distinguished by the love they show one for another. Second, the Samaritan went to him. He did not wait to be approached by the one in need, but rather perceived the need and stepped forth without being asked to do so. In that great hymn, "The Poor Wayfaring Man of Grief, So Loved by the Prophet Joseph," we sense that the high reward promised by the Savior came not just because acts of kindness were performed, but because they were done spontaneously, consistently, and selflessly. Third, the Samaritan bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. He provided medical attention and refreshed the sufferer's thirst. This immediate relief may well have saved a man's life. Fourth, the Samaritan set him upon his own beast, that he that he is provided, thus he has provided transportation and brought him to an inn, a place of rest and care. By providing this appropriate accommodation, he ensured the proper conditions for healing to take place. And fifth, the Samaritan took care of him. Notice that during the critical stages of healing, the Samaritan did not turn the care over to the wounded man over to others, but sacrificed of his own time, energy, to perform the healing service himself. In a time when it is so easy to leave things to someone else, it is important to have so powerful an example as this good Samaritan. Sixth, the Samaritan on the morrow took out 2 pence and gave them to the host. He took of his own money, not someone else's, and paid for the service he could not render himself. He thus consecrated of his means for the care of the poor and the needy. Seventh, the Samaritan, needing to continue in earning his own living, told the innkeeper to take care of him. In this way, he enlisted others' resources, persons, to help and to continue the care. Eighth, then the Samaritan promised that whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Here the ultimate in compassion is shown. He puts no limit on the extent to which he will help, and perhaps even more significant, he does not drop it there and forget it, but commits himself to return and ensure that all that could be done has been done. Now this seems to be the consummate story of service. Inheriting it, we find many, if not all, the elements of our modern welfare plan. And while we as individuals cannot always fulfill these 8 steps of relief by ourselves, we can, through the welfare system, accomplish all of this. We can and we should have compassion. We can and should seek out those in need. The Lord expressly lays this charge on the bishops in the 84th section of the Doctrine and Covenants. We can and do provide medical service, food, housing, transportation, and related assistance. We can and must give ourselves personally as priesthood and religious society officers, as visiting and home teachers, as friends and parents and loved ones. We can and do pay our fast offerings as well as produce commodities, render professional service, and donate usable goods. We can and do mobilize ourselves as well as make ourselves available as resource persons. This is usually done through the Ward Welfare Services Committee spoken of earlier. And finally, we can and must stay involved until a solution of the problem is found and resolution of the needs is accomplished. This is achieved when the individual in need can once again fully care for himself. It must be emphasized that we do not rely on some outside agency to show the compassion or the person or perform the labor that we have covenanted to do. Now, in order for us to be effective in this welfare services work, there are several basic things that must be done. May I suggest some of the primary welfare services priorities that each priesthood leader should pursue? In brief, they are: first, organize according to the pattern set forth in the handbooks and as directed by your presiding priesthood officer. If we are not properly organized, our welfare services effort are likely to be inconsistent and ineffective. Second, learn our duty. Much material has been made available for you to understand your responsibilities and accountabilities. See to it that you do not lack an understanding of what and how you are to proceed in your assignment. Hold regular, effective meetings following meaningful agenda. In all of your meetings, please make adequate provision for reports on assignments given. It's the follow-through on decisions made in our priesthood councils that truly make of us good Samaritans. As we stressed last April, I want to give emphasis to the 3 crucial meetings that must be held if welfare services is to be carried forward as the Lord intended. These 3 are the weekly ward welfare services committee meeting, the monthly state welfare services committee meeting, and the monthly state bishops council meeting. Fourth, teach welfare services principles and exemplify them in your own life. Make it a habit to read the report of these welfare services sessions and conference. They contain splendid material on the principles of welfare services. Today we have been instructed as fathers in what to teach our families, as bishops in what to teach our wards, and President Kimball has reminded us of the foundational principles of the welfare service work with which we should all familiarize ourselves. Fifth, establish and maintain those facilities and systems required to respond to needs. Much as has been said over the years regarding establishing production projects, storehouses, the employment program, appropriate use of LDS social services agencies, and Deseret Industries, I needn't elaborate on what ought to be or how it should be established. Simply let me remind you that according to an appropriate plan, go forth in establishing the Lord's complete program. Sixth, keep the program volunteer-centered. As a state president, I observed the transformation in lives and the happiness gained by those who on church service and volunteer basis gave of themselves as good Samaritans and as good Christians to heal and prosper the lives of others. I believe it was President Lee who said that we must never let this program become one of professionals. To the extent possible, we should rely on church service, brothers and sisters, to accomplish much of this work. When it is required that we have full or part-time employees, then let us make certain that those we hire are fully qualified. My brothers and sisters, the work of this church is moving forward as perhaps never before. May each of us give of ourselves wherever we can in the building of this kingdom and be fully self-reliant and compassionate, and then, as appropriate, help others help themselves in this great welfare service work and maintain their dignity and self-respect. I leave my testimony with you of the fullness and the truthfulness of this most important work. It is the work of the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.